Your Wells?
Oh, yeah. You're went correct, to school yeah. with him.
So how do you remember? What was he like as where you remember him?
Well, he seemed pretty good, the family did. And they had a house where the people could stop and eat their lunch on the road, you know, travelers. Yes. Chuck and Roy and Mary.
So people liked him and didn't...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were nice people. They were. Mm-hmm. They were all right.
You ever know ever hear about any of the jokes that Joe played and anything like that? I heard he was a pretty tough guy himself.
Oh, he wasn't too bad, not at all.
No.
Well, no, I heard everybody that I've spoke to says he was a nice guy, a good
you
man.
You bet you're nice.
Yes, he was. He was. He really was. Now they had Mary and Chuck and Joe. There was three brothers, three of them, wasn't it?
Do what, Nanny?
Mary and Chuck.
Yeah. Oh, old Joe, though. He's 100%.
Oh yes, they were nice families, and they had they were well liked among the other five people that was around there too, you know, those settlers. Yep. We went to school together.
Well, we went to school with Mary and Roy and Chuck.
Uh-huh.
What were the kids like? Those boys.
Well, you know, when they went to school, they were just all right. Now, I can say that.
Oh, yeah. They were.
The only thing that I can...
No, what?
You want me to tell it? We come to school one morning, and here was a pile of...
Well, that's you told that.
No, tell it again.
Well, did I tell you
did that? I'm not sure you did. Tell us.
Had some other big rails or something called a... thick row of logs piled up there, and then
they were tied, Diney.
Ties, that's what I was trying to get at. Piled up there, and here there was all of that commoner stuff, and all fixed up, all great big.
Over the doorknob
was covered, you couldn't even see it. So we come, then the teacher came, and then
that is George Potter.
George Potter.
Potter was the teacher.
Yeah.
And he refused to go open the door.
Yeah.
He stayed at our house.
Yeah, almost all of the teachers stayed at our house. They wouldn't stay anyplace else. Yeah.
Why was that? What was special?
Well, it was just...
It was a Halloween deal.
Oh.
That's right. That's what they did. Just, you know, to play a joke or do something.
But boy, they got the dickens for it, though, I'll tell you that.
Well...
Well, the folks didn't like it, you know.
Well, I know they didn't.
They didn't, but anyhow, it was a joke.
So what was special about your house that the teachers stayed there?
Well, I don't know, but they always liked to stay at our house, the teacher did. And of course, we had room for them, and we had good food, and that's what they liked. They rather
and
happy.
A place to stay.
And a place to stay.
Now, what were you going to say about those kids and about the Wells boys, and you started laughing?
Well, it was a Halloween party, you see. That's what it all created to be.
Oh, is that...
They did done that for a joke. That is on Halloween time.
Maybe. Yeah, but were you going to tell me another story about them? Was there something else? You started to laugh, and then you said she was telling it over again. You know, what were you going to say? Were you going to talk another story about those boys?
Well, I thought they were loving. Mm-mm.
No, they were all right.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah. I've heard that they were good, too.
Oh, yeah.
You bet your life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Sure. I just wonder what they were like, because there were so few Negroes around in this country at all.
Yeah.
Not at them days.
No.
And I was going to tell you about Joe Welch's wife. Now he called her Lou. She'd go in there and make biscuits every morning, and cook them hot biscuits for her man.
Oh boy, she was some cook.
Yes.
And then they had a daughter, Mary. She was too. But I'll tell you, they were good cooks.
But old Lou, now I tell you, she was wonderful. But what I was going to tell you now. What I was going to tell you now, you know, she used to chew snooze. I guess that I don't know, it had a little can about probably that big around, she. And she'd have a stick on it, and she'd dip that thing in there, and she'd take it and put it in her mouth here and chew it for a little while, see?
I can see her that doing that yet. But
And then when she run out of that snooze, well, then she had a big plug of tobacco, but one of them big long, and she had that in her dresser drawer. And then when she'd want to chew, then after she got done with that snooze, then she'd go in there and take a big bite of that. I see her do that many a time.
Did she have a chair she liked to sit in and rock in when she was chewing the tobacco?
Nope. No. She's out there working, busy working like thunder.
Every one of them, lazy bone in them at all.
Oh, crap, yes.
And then when they had their, do work sometime on the highway, the road, they were right there. They helped build the old schoolhouse that we all was in. There was all help so that we had that old schoolhouse. And I guess it's gone now.
That log schoolhouse, they moved it off and up there where we used to go to school, down there where Mary lived. Down there on the flat.
Yeah, down there on the flat.
Mm-hmm. Well, why did they call that the Wells Schoolhouse?
Well, that's the only schoolhouse we had at them days.
With another schoolhouse
around. Well, I mean, why did they call it the Wells Schoolhouse? Well, did he build it himself? Was that it?
No, my dad and Joe and Anderson built that schoolhouse. Mm-hmm. Built it there.
Yeah.
I went to school there good many days.
Oh, yeah.
We only had 4 months of school, see, them days.
And then, too, they had held church in that school, too. And they had a bench about like that, and that was for us to kneel on and pray.
Well,
all the no for Sunday, and they put that away again, That's all the church they had for that time.
What was it? What kind of a church was it?
Oh, it was there was Lutheran, there was different nationalities that they went from.
That is in Deary, 9A, after that schoolhouse had moved.
Yeah, well, yes, but I say it was still there. We were going to church.
Did you have much to do with when they were building the railroad and the crews were in there? Did you sell them food or anything like that? Did you ever have any run-ins with them, the people working on the railroad?
I'll tell you one thing. Mom used to cook for that bridge crew, and that them guy that put in them culverts on that railroad there.
Yeah.
And we carried lunch. You and I carried lunch.
And we had made it up in a nice big tub, and he got one in the other side, and here we lug it up there to him. Yeah, Henry.
That's no fooling, boy. I tell you that. It's honest facts.
My mother and I was a very good cook, and she just picked that up, so they had all they wanted to eat out of it too. Yeah, those days was quite old days, and it doesn't seem like that all that
long ago.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I was hardly.
It's one way back, all right. Yes, sir.
Years back.
Well, how did your folks get by through those hard times?
Well, they had pigs and they had stock, and we milked and we planted a garden. And then in the fall, he'd butcher for meat. Had it all cured up. Some of it was smoked, some of it was dried, solid and dried.
Mm-hmm. Many, even the, what's called that, dried chipped beef, we had them, mommy and these are kind. But as we were settling, there was different people. Different nationalities all would come in time and settle all around the community, all the country around, and would settle. There would be people moving in from different countries, in different places.
There were sure a lot of people from Norway around Deary.
You bet your life.
That was really a big, big, big bunch.
See, there's Burke now. They were Norwegians. And we was Norwegians. And then there was Halset, they were Norwegians.
Wasn't Swanson's too?
Swanson's was Swedes.
Swedes, yeah. Burke's. Well, there's quite a bunch of them there.
There was other Norwegians too.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Then these have been so long back.
Oh yeah,
but if I could just remember all of it, it'd be different.
Do you know why? Why so many of the Norwegians came to that area? Because do you know why that was? That they all got together there?
Well, they come from different, in the old country, she here, this country.
Different places from back in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did the families know each other from back there? Or just when they got
here? Well, no, when they got together and homesteaded and got a place to live, mm-hmm. they got acquainted with each other.
And then they built a church. There was some of the church, and we all went to that. That's the way we got acquainted quite a bit. See?
Well, 90, I want to say this now. You remember when the old church used to sit down
yes.
there?
That's the one I'm referring to.
Yes, and they moved that up to Deary now. After they got mm-hmm. through that down there, they tore it down and moved it to Deary.
Uh-huh. It's in Deary.
Deary, sitting in Deary right today.
Hmm. And they used to make their own caskets.
Yes, old Martin Magson. Martin Magson. Did you know him?
Yeah, I've heard about him.
Yes.
Arthur.
Martin Magson.
What about him?
Well,
he made the casket just to fit, you know.
He made a casket for his mother.
Mm-hmm. And then as other people passed away, then we made some more again because there wasn't a way to
get casket. Well, then Hanson's up there, on the other side of Derry there, they used to build them caskets.
Yeah, that's what I say, they build.
Who is this now?
Hanson.
Hanson?
Mm-hmm. Hanson, they had a sawmill or place, and they built caskets mm-hmm. up there, wooden caskets.
Mm-hmm. And they paint them and fix them real nice, you know. We had a nice graveyard with fence around us, so it wouldn't be interfered, you know, with mm-hmm. cattle or anything coming in at that time. Yep. And they built their own church. Our own church too.
Did many people die besides the old people then?
Kids? not too many. No. Not like to do today.
No.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. But what I was going to say about Martin Madison now.
Yeah.
Well, he had a house there, and he had a place up there, and his mother was up in there, and you know she fell out of bed, and died on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
And then what I was going to say now, that when Martin and old what's his name got that meat market down there.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
They used to cut ice up there on that pond. He had a pond built up there at his place there, and they used to cut ice there. And they had a place that down there, Dewey there, they had a meat market there then, see.
Mm-hmm.
And they hauled ice down to there, put it in there and covered it up with sawdust. And then whenever the ice box there got kind of low, well, then you'd have to clean that sawdust off and get that ice up overhead there.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there for a while.
You know, Arthur Burke told me that he used to bring in the cattle for Magnuson, for the camps.
That's right, mm-hmm. that's right.
He used to go out and get them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of cattle around, and they...
Well, they had, everybody had a bunch of cattle,
yeah.
Where did they graze them mostly?
Just out there in their own place of business there, wherever they
make corrals and they would keep
corrals. No, they didn't have no corrals, Manny. They went out.
Oh,
anywhere.
I know they did. They did have sort of none of the milk cows was because Dad used to have them.
Well, the milk cows they were taken care of different.
Yeah.
And then the young critters.
The young and the others.
Well, how long did it take your parents to clear up and get that going?
Brother, I tell you, that's something that's quite an answer.
Yeah.
I helped, there was a lot of timber, not timber, but then Dad, he went around and chopped a circle around them trees there, see?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then they died, see? And then that, in the spring, every spring, we used to have to go out there and pick up that bark off that field there that they had. No fooling.
and some of them big trees just saw through there and go through. That was quite a big job, too.
I picked up many.
It really, the way it was and the unhandiness it was and what they had to do to begin with, it worked out pretty nice. Everybody seemed to work together and kind of just help each other a little, too.
You think the people helped each other a lot, huh?
Well, they did, that them days.
You bet they did.
When one of them had to have some help for them, the other one come and help.
And another thing, too, when a woman have a baby, here would be the whole neighborhood around come with all kinds of food and shower with it when she's still in bed. I can see that just from the front of our house.
That's nice.
Oh, everything you can think of, everybody can pay for it.
Well, did it take those trees a long time to fall over once you girdled them?
You got to cut a rim around them, see, and then take about a year before they'd die off, see. That killed them. And then when they started dying, well, then the bark fell off. Had bark on it about 2 inches, 3 inches thick. Many a time I helped pick up that doggone bark that fell in the field there where Dad used to have to plow.
Well, what did they plant then? What did your parents plant once they got it cleared?
Well, wheat and oats.
Right away, this
one. And they just sowed it by hand. It's hand seeder. Mm-hmm. Had a sack or a bucket, and they'd sow that seed.
Did we have a Timothy? Do you remember if we had any of that? Timothy.
Well, do you remember I went down to Applequist to get that long cedar, one of them cedars. Mm-hmm. And I went down there and got that. It is on a wheelbarrow rig, but it's about 10 foot long, wide. And they put your Timothy seed in there, and then he'd go and seed that, and he had to stake it for every time he made it round. See?
So he knew where he was.
That's right.
Yeah, that finally grew up so nice, and then when it got up so high, they would cut it down, you know, with them, and it was nice hay.
And then they usually have a scythe and another rig there, they call it a cradle. They had, that is when the grain come up, and then they used to have to go and bind it with that grain, that leaves and stuff that's in the, and tie it. They didn't have no binder in twine.
And what did they use the cradle for?
To make them just like a shock, just like a binder would when it's tied up. See.
Did you make those by hand, those cradles?
No. But it had prongs on it about that long, and when that got full, then he'd dump it, see, and then they'd take that stuff off the body of that stuff that he dumped and make it tight. Mm-hmm.
Where did the tools come from that your parents used? Where'd they get them from? Did they buy them?
Oh, yes. They went to different place to buy them. Cradle, I think Arthur Burke had the first one.
Mm-hmm. He had the first one, I remember that.
Yes, sir. You betcha.
And then they helped each other and borrowed it so they didn't have it. You know, they were good to do that, so they kind of, if you didn't have it and somebody then you could borrow it and use it. Whatever it might be.
I don't know. Maybe he built it, maybe old man Burke built it. His dad.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
You betcha.
He was all right. He'd been there longer than we had, so he was well.
No. He had a granary down there, see, and he made a lock on that thing, on that granary door. And he had just like this here, but it had prongs in it, but you got to know where to hook it to open the door.
So you couldn't get in unless you knew how to...
That's right.
How to use the prongs,
that's
huh?
Right. You could stick it in there and then turn around to so many, I don't know how many turns you turn it to open the door. Otherwise, you couldn't get in there. That's old man Burke.
Yeah.
Arthur's dad.
He was pretty handy, though. He was a worker, too.
Yeah.
But he lived to be quite an old man, too.
Did he work? Did he keep working until he was really old?
Well, he went out and grubbed all that place down there where Arthur's living right today.
Yes, sir. He just worked and put it on the last minute for you.
He'd go out there and grub it with a grub hole. Mm-hmm. And grub up the brush and the stumps and different things.
Is that not their home? Is that the same as their home place? The place where he's right living today?
Right down there below Halsey's place. Mm-hmm.
Right, that's the same. That's their home place.
That's the home place, you betcha. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. In those days, what we have today, say it's a different world.
Sure, but it's interesting because that's never going to be again. That's
long ago. Never.
Well, I want to ask you about what Arthur was like as a boy. Did you spend much time with him?
Oh, I used to go hunting with him all the time.
We used to go to school together.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Yeah. What was he like? Was he a hard worker? Did he like to play? Have a good time?
No, sir. He worked, boy.
He was a worker. We all had to. That was nothing fooling around or play around.
And another thing I want to say, that every fall they'd get a lot of wood that is black pine timber, and he'd go out there and run a crosscut saw. And saw them, that wood, and split it, carry into the house.
For the fire?
Yes, sure. And his mother now, we used to go fishing, Arthur and I did. She had a coffee grinder up there, one of them old timers on the wall. And whenever we got back, she'd make coffee for us.
Yep, there's...
Where'd you go fishing?
Down on the river down there. We walked to Martin Magnuson's field and down, it's about 3 miles down off the hill there, down the river. Mm-hmm. Well, Arthur and I, we've been down there many times.
Yeah. Well, what did you catch mostly?
Trout, really nice trout.
Oh my gosh, they were nice. Heavens, they were beautiful.
You don't see them nowadays anymore like that.
No, you don't. Not in those creeks, no.
No. But that is a wonderful stream. Little potlatch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really... When they came, all those people came there, they had to start from the bottom. No hospitals, no nothing like that. They have a doctor once that was handy to be around. Where from, I couldn't quite remember, but I know he saved your life.
You know, would you tell me that again now? How he had
pneumonia.
What did the doctor say?
He had pneumonia, but he said to Mother, he said, now, he says, I'll come back this evening. We'll know at 12 o'clock tonight if he would live or go. See, he was laying there kind of like he was sleeping, you know. So we all was quiet and we sat in there and talking. 12 o'clock come, and just a little before 12, I can see him yet. He looked at his watch and he walked in there, and Henry began to wake up. But he said that we'll go one way or the other, but it didn't. It went the right way.
Well, you know, that's one time it looked like I was looking at angels right at the front.
See, did you know Mox Mox at all? Because Arthur said that he was around there, and that old Indian, there was an old, he said the Indians came through the country. Did you see the Indians when you were young?
Sure.
Yeah, they used to travel through on the road to go.
They used to come by hides and stuff.
By hides?
Hides. Indians.
Hide.
Hide. Hide. Any kind of a hide you had, if you wanted to sell it, or give it to them, or do whatever.
Yeah, there's quite a bunch. They used to come in bunches. They were quite thick, going through the country. But they were harmless. They didn't...
No, they didn't bother.
Oh, they didn't bother.
Did you spend any time with them?
No, just when they come to, come out there, have you got any hides, have you got this or got that? Well, then we'd give it to them.
They traded.
No. We just turn it over because they're no good to us. See, just let them have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Used to come through there about every spring or fall. And then another thing I want to tell you too, then Indians used to go up there to, on the other side of Helmer there, on that ranch there, and dig that camas or whatever they call it. They made flour out of that stuff.
They used to dig it on the other side of Helmer, huh?
Yes, indeed, on that flat up there, on this side of Bobo. That is, I can't hardly think of his name now. Anyway, they had there's a spring up there, they used to call it the Iron Springs. You could go in there and get water. It's supposed to be that just about like that spring up there in Montana.
Was it a mineral?
Mineral spring, that's right. And it run right out to down below there, and they had a campground up there and different ones from Moscow and all over the country. Would go up there and camp there and go down there and get that water.
Then they had what they call the Tea Meadows, which is a big, big wide meadow run way up.
Yeah.
Way on up.
That is old, if I could just think, what the heck is
his
name? Oh, that is old Lanphier.
Yeah, Lanphier.
Old man Lanphier, he owned that place there.
That was a beautiful valley, just go for miles up to, you go on the highway there and you see that big long one, big wide meadow there all the way up. There's their farm.
And then the party that after Lanphier left, he went to Troy and bought a place down there, someplace, an orchard of some kind.
Yeah.
And I forget now, I'll have to think for quite a little while, that got that place there where Lanphier left. I can't think of it either, Henry, but I don't know.
That's okay.
That is Donner.
Donner.
Mm-hmm. Donner. Well, I heard Lanphier was quite a horse trader.
Who?
Lanphier. I heard he traded horses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, to say.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. There's so many things that happened that it's kind of hard to remember anymore.
But you know, everybody was happy. They worked and helped each other. They were.
Well, I don't know.
And we used to go to the, as I say, they fixed us, and they go to church, and we have the minister, he come, and we go to each other's, have dinner, you know, just like a big family, all the way all through, because we knew it was just like a chain all over. They were neighborly.
Well, I want to say one thing now. I want to ask you, have you ever looked at that little old engine sitting down there with the depot?
Yeah. That's nice.
Huh?
It's a nice engine.
Yeah.
What's so funny? Did you work on that engine?
I sure did. I pulled that patent train here for 12 years with that little engine. And the log trains, I put a lot of them down.
Yep.
Is that what you did? You were an engineer on the train?
Yes, engineer, you betcha. Mm-hmm. And in 1935, then they put me in as roundhouse foreman down here. Many a time I clumb in that little engine down there, and then on the engine the next morning, I throwed boards in there to cork stay bolts. Believe it or not, stay in there for just a few minutes. Crawl out, head first, back in feet first, in that firebox hole, that fire door. And I shoveled 9 and 10 ton of coal in that little engine down there. Firing with a scoop. I put in over 50 years for that railroad down.
say you were. Yep, there was steady work, and everybody was happy to get it work too. So I don't.
I'd like to know what, you know, where'd you start?
Down at Plouffe's. Laird Norton had the first sawmill down there, Plouffe's. And they sawed timber for that sawmill that's sitting right down here today. And the farther the railroad went, then it's right here to Potlatch. They call it Potlatch now. And that sawmill, by gosh, now that's no fool. Mm-hmm.
Did you work down there between Palouse and Potlatch on that?
No, no. That is NP. That's old J.R. Jones. He was the engineer. As far as they went here to Potlatch, off in the NP. And that sawmill is at Laird Norton. And Laird Norton is the one that got that sawmill that started down here. And they hauled the timbers up, some of them. And then after they got organized down here, well, then they sawed their own timbers. Mm. And then they finished building up the dry kilns and the dry sheds and the planer sheds and all of that stuff. And then the warehouser, after Laird Norton left, well, then it is straight warehouser, PFI, Potlatch Forest.
I think maybe I should come back again and just talk, and maybe you and I could just talk to you about the railroad and what that was like.
That's
working on the
right.
Railroad.
I can tell you the whole detail of it now, and I can name every station, every place. Now out of Plouffe, now there was Wellesley. That's on this side of Plouffe, about 5 miles. And then Kennedy Ford, that's down here, where the warehouses sit, down here at Kennedy Ford. And then come to Potlatch. That's Potlatch, see. Kennedy Ford is another place, see. And then Princeton. Mm-hmm. Princeton is another place. We used to have to stop. And then up there, beyond Princeton, was old Morsey's Siding. I don't know whether you know anything about him or not, but Morsey, they called it the Morsey Siding. And from Morsey Siding, it is Harvard.
How many miles between Princeton and Morsey?
Well, I got some old timetable cards here that I can show you one of these days. I think they're still in here. Between Morsey and Harvard, it's only about a mile, maybe a little bit more or less, I don't know. I wouldn't really say it, to be honest with you. And from Harvard is up to Yale, at the top of the hill. And then from Yale, it was Vassar. And from Vassar, it was Deary. I called Princeton, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yes. And from Vassar to Deary. And from Deary to Cornell. And from Cornell to Beauvais. Yeah. Yes. Someday when you have time and want to wish to, why, I think I got couple of old timetables out here. They're later than what I was speaking of now. But they changed the time on the running time.
What was your run like?
Huh?
What was it? What was the run like? What did you haul? And how long did it take you? And
that
how
right, did that for sure? It's right on that time card. We had to make that time between each showing them stations. Then if you didn't do it, well, then they'd holler at you. Yeah. And, you know, I was going to tell you now, Gamble, he was the big gun down here at one time, you know, W.J. Gamble. Anyway, he gave me orders. He says, now, anytime gets on that top of that tank of that engine down there, he said, run, stop and run them off. Well, then he bawled me out because I didn't make time. I had to stop, see, and run them off. There's a, they call them the bums, I don't know. There's one in Cloos, there's one over here, and there's one in Beauville. They used to go and make their lunch and eat, see. There's one in Cloos. And then whenever the Cloos job come up through here, they'd jump into them empty box cars where the doors are open. And ride, and then when we'd stop here, well, they'd unload her, get off, and go down there in that place there to, you know, mulligan up, I guess, or whatever they call it.
You mean the bums just had, there were little places where they'd stay?
That's right, that for sure. You had one Cloos, one here in Potlatch, one Beauville.
What was in them? What was in the places? Were the places asleep?
No, they slept in the boxcars. With their doors open, they slept in the boxcars. Some of them had blankets on them, some of them didn't. Most of them did, though. Carried a blanket.
Well, were these guys real hobos? Were they?
No, they're just traveling from place to place. I don't know whether they were hobos or what they were, but they were all right anyway.
So what did Gamble get mad at you about?
He told me to run them off the tank. Off the tank on the back end there, off the engine. And then when I'd have to run them off, like the orders I got from him, see, well, if I'd have to stop and start my train again, and then I'd lose a little time, see.
Did you just let them go sometimes because you liked them?
You bet your life. And some of them rode between the cars.
Rode the rods and everything.
No, not the rod. They hung on to ladders there and rode. Yeah. Been half a dozen of them ride to Derry, from Potlatch to Derry, hanging on to the side of the boxcars because the doors wouldn't open.
Well, it's nice to have a visitor here. I hope you got all the news that I know.
Thanks for talking with me.
Yeah, that's something I enjoy, that you can get our history down.
Yeah, what we do is and keep it. What is it?
Well, for the drove piling on them bridges up through here. The horse pulled that hammer up there and it tripped and dropped down dry piling. That's something that a lot of these young fellas don't know nothing about. I see that with my own eyes.
They lay that way too.
That's right, Ma. Mm-hmm. But that, and then that team, they had a guy driving that team and pulled that rope back down to hook on the pile drive again.
Did they use more than one team for
No, just one team. Pull that hammer up there and drove that piling down. That's on Bridge 17. Yeah, I've seen everything in the books.
I wanted to ask you about these bums that rode the rail. Would the same guys stick around for a long? Would you see the same guys over and over again on the train? Would the same guys ride those rails?
Same guys ride them rails?
Yeah, you said the hobos that were on the train.
Well, no. That's something I couldn't answer because I wouldn't know who they were, who they weren't.
Yeah.
But they didn't hurt nobody.
No, they were harmless.
Not a bit in the world.
Can you tell me what your job was as the engineer, what your part of the job was?
I was an engineer.
Runner.
Operating the engine, that little engine sitting right down there. And I had the 21, the 20, and the 22, and the 23. The three five different
engines.
Who
do you haul logs with a bigger engine, Joe,
honey? Well, that little engine down there, that really a wonderful engine. I help superheat them, that one spot in the 21. Made superheaters out of them instead of a slobber stack.
How did you make the change? What did you have to do to it?
We had to make them big flues in there and put them units in there, and two sheets, two different sheets, one the firebox, one the front end. They were big pipes. They were 6-inch pipes. They had them units, and there was 4 units goes in each one of them flues.
Did it make it much easier to run after that?
Oh, better power. We didn't have to take water every time you turn around. You can go to Beauville with them little engine there, and with the 21, and haul all the tonnage that we could haul. Didn't have to stop and take water. We'd still have water when we got to Beauville. Otherwise, we'd have to stop at Stanford. Yeah. And then every 4 years, we had to pull them units out and put clamps on them because they got burned off, see? And then we had to test it again. Test the air tanks, test the boiler, set the pops. I just set them pops every month. Had a gauge by the firebox, by the engineers there, and the guy firing it and set the pops. One of them was 195 and the other was 190. The pops on them. Get out there and set them pops. Gauge outside and gauge inside.
He had to do that every month, huh?
You betcha.
Would they be off very much when you'd set them?
Nope. But then that federal man called for it, see? Had to do it, or else something else.
Did you have any accidents?
I never had no accident. I picked up a lot of wrecks, so I can tell the word
well,
that.
Father.
Huh?
You did too have a wreck.
I did not.
You had that 18 cars that piled up there?
Well, that's
a wreck, wasn't it?
It wasn't. The engine was all right. But now I'm going to tell you all about that, too. Noggle was the big shot in the woods. We had them WRM flats, see? And at the time, that was 1930, when there's rock in the road here to the railroad. And old Noggle, he said, load them up, load them up, load them up. And a big old white pine log that rolled off at a switch there at Vassar. And busted the switch, and 18 cars went down through there, and some of them logs went through that warehouse there. 18 cars piled up there just like a straw pile. I had 18 cars behind me, and I took them on into Potlatch.
Now, where was the log on the train? It was in the middle?
No, it was on, they had short logs, see. And old Noggle said I was making 45 miles an hour down through there, that downhill there, see. And I was trying to make a run for the hill, to get over the hill there. And Hellum, he's back behind pushing me, see. We had 60-some loads.
Had some pretty long train, everyone. Long train here, didn't we?
Well, yeah, I had a helper behind me, but he's supposed to help me up top of Yale, see.
Now, which car was the log on, the one that
well,
went
I
off?
Well, I don't really tell you what car.
Well, I just mean, was it in the back of the train, front of the train?
It was front of Hellum's.
Okay.
Hellum had 3-4 cars back of him after we derailed there, see. But that big old log rolled off and hit the switch stand and broke it, see? And throwed them cars, one of them went one way and some of them went the other way.
Yeah. Well, who got heck for that?
Well, old Noggle should have got heck for that because he said, load them up. And then they said, you're making 45 miles an hour. That's what Noggle said. He come to the office down there and said, and Laird and Humiston went up there and looked at it. The whole flock of them went up there and looked at it. Lloyd Mole is breaking. He's sitting on the tank, him and George Swift was sitting on the tank there. I looked back there and I see one of them cars going down through there and I just took off and get away from there. I didn't go very far. I went down past that derailment. I seen so many.
Tell me, what else have you seen like that? I mean, what accidents have you seen that were bad around here?
Oh, I seen so many of them, I don't know.
That time they went over the bridge, or was going over the bridge.
That one time I didn't want to come back over. When I went up one day with the logger, I had 1,300 ton of weight. And I went over Bridge 10 there. And the sway braces cracked and broke on the bridge there, Bridge 10. And I went on into Beauville. I got over the train and went on into Beauville and then got my train load of logs coming back. But I told them I have not gone back over that bridge till it's fixed. And they shoveled them caps off with a shovel. Just throw them out. Well, I you might think that's funny, but it no joke about it. And then there at Bridge 18, now there's another place. They had a slide out through there, mud slide. And Helm, he's behind. I had to go to Beauville, but Helm, he's behind. We were picking up logs at Camp 6. And there's a passing track there. And Helm, he said, I ain't going up there through there today. He said, I'm going to sit here and wait for you till you come back. And I wouldn't come back across that doggone bridge because it all slid out. But the only thing you'd see the rails hanging on them old sills there. So I stopped there on the other side of Camp 6. I didn't go across there. I wouldn't go across there. I'd walk across, but I wouldn't run the engine and train across it.
So they fixed it.
Yes, they kept it there for 6 days before they got it fixed.
The train just sat there?
Yes, they had to have a night watchman to watch that engine, keep it hot, see. But they didn't go across there for 6 days. Till they filled that up and fixed it. Now, when I come across it, I could look down there. There was nothing to look at, only a bunch of crap down on the other side there. So that is one time that I refused to do anything that is really fair. If I'd went across there then, ditch that engine, put it in there, then some other buddy's hard neck. There at Bridge 13 too, there's another place that I refused to go across.
What was the matter with that bridge?
Huh?
What was the matter there?
Well, what wasn't matter with it? That's the whole deal. I know when I ride over the rails, I know where it's bad and where it wasn't.
Kind of shaky, huh?
Huh?
It's kind of shaky. Bridge. Did it shake any? When you go over the bridge like that, when they were...
Well, who wouldn't be shaky? after you get over it, then you can see what happened.
Well, how did these bridges get fixed? Did they have a special bridge crew?
They had a bridge crew, but nowadays they ain't got no bridge crew. They ain't got nothing anymore. There used to be 7 section crews between Toulouse and Beauville. Now they got one here at Potlatch, and they got one that goes to Deary.
What was the pay like on the section crews, do you know?
27 cents an hour. I pulled that log train there for 27 cents an hour. 10 hours.
When was this?
Oh, that's been a long time back.
Well, before the Depression, back in the 20s?
Yes, yeah. Long in about 20s. 20, 25 or 26, somewhere around there.
You got the same as a section crew?
Yeah. Old Gamble, he said that it's going to be all the same. I worked 2 months for that 27 cents an hour. Then finally the union took it over and said to vote. Going to make a change here. Then they raised it up. I got 59 cents an hour then to pull that train.
That's a big jump.
Well, big jump. Then
from
we
nothing.
We had it coming though.
Oh, yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, what was the union?
Well, they had three or four of them. The AF and L and CIO and the and, oh, cripes.
They had the IWW in there.
Well, that is in 1920. Now it's 1917. Because I can tell you now, when I went to World War I, that in 1917, that's when the Wobblies was really pouring it on here. And I was drafted in 1917.
What did you think of the Wobblies then?
Well, I think they straightened up the whole thing. You betcha. They got rid of them old haywire bunks that you just have to sleep in, stuff like that. And after I was drafted, then they had us go to Moscow, and we had to stay in jail there because the sheriff over there was looking after us. He said he had charge of us, so I was over there, left here at 1 o'clock, I think it was, in the afternoon, went over there and collared us all up there, the bunch that had drafted from Deary at that time, see. It was Deary then. We went in there, and the sheriff's office there, and he said, well, here's a bid for you fellas, he said. I think there was 12 of us that were drawn from Deary, see. And he said, here's your place, you got a camp now. So, okay, good and well. Then, that evening then, that afternoon, he says, we're going to go to Troy, he said. The sheriff did, says, we're going to go to Troy. So we got in that white wagon that they had then. I think Jack Campbell was the sheriff then. I think I'm sure. We'll go to Troy now. We're going to go down there and see what they're doing down there. Went down there and, well, he said, you boys, come on, let's go in here. We've got some apple cider in here, he said. Yeah. Tastes pretty good, he said. So we went in there, and there's hard cider, boys. It's apple cider, and it's really hard, too. We stayed in there for about a couple hours, I guess, or something like that. Well, he says, boys, let's come on, let's go back. We're going to go back to Moscow now. Went back to Moscow and was laid on the jail floor there. Them days are gone now.
What was he doing? Was he, you think he was just giving you guys a good time before you
that's
went?
Right, that's for sure. You betcha. And he's a good dad too. Yeah.
When you say the Wobblies were pouring it on then, in 1917, what do you mean, pouring it on?
They cleaned up them dump cars, them log cars, or them bunk cars that the people was in the camps was sleeping in, on straw beds.
Was there any strikes that you knew of? Did they go out, stop work?
Well, out in the service then, so I couldn't answer that. But the Wobblies straightened that out anyway, I can say that. Because my dad and I and Nigger Joe used to freight from Princeton and Harvard to Camp 6 on sleighs. Sleigh haul. Many a time old dad and Nigger Joe, they used to ride, drive in the front there. And Nigger Joe had four horses on his team. And he told me, he said, you get up there on that seat there and sit there and guide them. They didn't have to guide them, they'd follow the rest of them. Well, I ain't kidding nobody. I know what I did.
Well, you know what, come back again and tell you some more history. Often you come up this way.
Oh, I'm up maybe, every other week I get up.
From where is it you live, may I ask again?
I'm Little Bear Ridge.
Little Bear Ridge.
And I work
that's
out
right
of Moscow.
Out of Ingalls place there,
yeah,
Mom.
Mm-hmm.
I work out of Moscow a lot of the time,
uh-huh.
Most of the time.
Well, you got some more history down there, haven't you?
Yeah.
For the early birds.
Yeah, okay.